And let's remember one of the giants of science now, Edward O. Wilson, the evolutionary biologist and author, died Sunday at the age of 92. Wilson was often compared to Charles Darwin, and he's probably best remembered for his study of how natural selection shaped insect behavior. His book, The Ants, explored the complexity of ant colonies, and it brought him one of the two Pulitzer Prizes he received in his lifetime. But E.O. Wilson was also a pioneer in the field of biodiversity, and he was deeply troubled by the loss of species to climate change and human activity. In 2006, he wrote The Creation, An Appeal to Save Life on Earth, and Robin Young met up with E.O. Wilson to talk about it, outdoors at Walden Pond in Concord, Massachusetts.
Oh, look at this nice old log.
Okay, watch for anything that moves.
Wilson has devoted his life to demonstrating how every species, no matter how humble, is a masterpiece of biology and worth saving. How even ants turn the earth as much as worms.
Ants swarming all over here. We've broken into that colony of ants, and they are peeved. They are not happy to be disturbed like that.
How many different kinds of ants are there?
There are 12,000 known by scientists. I figure twice that number in the world, at least.
But in his latest book, E.O. Wilson describes an ongoing biological catastrophe. He says at least half of the species of plants and animals on Earth could be gone or on their way to extinction by the end of this century. And most interesting, the book takes the form of an open letter to a fictional southern pastor, asking the religious to join the science community to save the Earth. The book is called The Creation, An Appeal to Save Life on Earth. We thought it appropriate to ask about it, perched on an old log here at Walden, home to Thoreau and the American environmental movement.
You say that there's a basic fault line. People who believe on the one side of the fault line that the evolution of all life is independent of God. On the other side, a range of beliefs ranging from a denial that evolution ever occurred to acceptance that it did occur but that God had something to do with it. And you're saying that the goal should be just to accept that there's that difference?
Yes. I don't think that there's much chance of closing the gap. I feel we should stop wrangling over the unanswerable and recognize that the two most powerful forces in the world are religion and science, and that if they were combined in the common goal, there's very little that they could not accomplish. The one thing that really we do have in common is or should be the creation, the living creation, and that's the rest of life on Earth. We know, this is what the scientists contribute, that's disappearing rapidly. And on the side of the religious community, generally there is a commitment to save from destruction what they see as God's creations. Two worldviews, two reasons to save the creation. Why can't we combine them and not fuss about why we have them, but actually get busy and save the creation?
Well, and again, you say that the motivation for the religious-minded would be to save what's left of Eden, you know, the natural world. Mm-hmm. But many people who are fundamentalist in their faith believe that the Earth is just sort of a way station to another life. And in fact, will be destroyed anyway when the rapture comes, so there's not the motivation to save it. What do you do about that?
This is one reason why I address the evangelicals in particular. Because at one extreme, there is the view of what are called the dispensationalists, namely, those who take the word of the book of Revelation to be literally true. And so those who believe that we are just momentarily about to leave this planet, they certainly do not care much about the environment. But I venture to say that the vast majority of Christians believe otherwise, that we really must take care of what has been put into our care.
Whether or not we agree on how it got here.
That's right.
Yeah, you say in the book that, is the phrase secular humanist you use to describe yourself?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The secularist is a person who is not identified with or has a particular faith in any particular religion or denomination, but is an independent thinker. And humanist, this is the belief that humanity is at the center of things and that our activities should be primarily devoted to improving the lot of the human species.
And yet you have a lot of sympathy for the Southern Baptist pastor that you're writing this open letter to in your book. I mean, you grew up in Alabama. Were you a Baptist?
Yeah, I was raised as a Baptist, as a Southern Baptist, and drifted away from the faith at late in my teens to secularism. But I've grown up among Southern Baptists and others, fundamentalist Christians among them, and I deeply respect them. They are smart. Many of them are highly educated.
And the reason that you wrote it, though, I mean, is there a perception that if they perceived the environmental movement, let's say, as a liberal secular movement, then they would feel cut off from it?
They do. They feel that way. It's a false theme. It's a canard that has been worked to the bone by the conservative right. There's a history to this, and very briefly, in the 60s, the United States had a very a raucous and activist left. It also attacked the established order on the basis of neglect of environment, which is an easy thing to do. We didn't even have much of an environment ethic in the 60s. Well, that was very effective. In the Reagan years, a movement identified environmentalism as particularly dangerous, said the conservatives, because it was part of an effort to put a stranglehold on government with regulations. And that's where we are essentially today, but it has degenerated to rhetoric. The time has come to make the environment, especially conservation of the rest of life, nonpartisan.
So,
off record here, I suspect you may be sitting on an anthill.
I think I am. Do you mind? But, and I have a skirt on. So do
okay,
you
so, oh, yeah. Bless my soul. It's a colony of carpenter ants. They're not swarming out. But shall we take a seat over here?
Well, I thought I felt something, but wait, let's look at
yeah, they were coming up and investigating.
They
wondered what this gigantic creature was that was disturbing their nest.
Okay.
Well, I feel like
we
kept
move
knocking
down to
your
that
subject.
Other end of
let's
the lawn.
Do that. Okay. And, well, I ask you, so now you've written this open letter to this pastor, this appeal to Southern Baptists in particular. Have they written you letters back?
Yeah. Already I've joined with a leading evangelical to have a conference later in the year between evangelical leaders and scientists to discuss the issues and explore the whole subject.
It's going to be perhaps a real challenge for each side not to try to proselytize the other.
I'd be happy if we just coaxed each other onto the common ground of being environmentalists.
Well, Professor, thank you so much for spending some time to tell us about it. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Robin.
E.O. Wilson in 2006 with our own Robin Young. Wilson died yesterday. And if you'd like to learn more about his life and work, we recommend the new biography by Richard Rhodes out this year. It's called Scientist, E.O. Wilson, A Life in Nature.